Blog Talk Radio.
And we want to welcome everyone once again to the RF Sports Radio Show. Oh, so much to talk about, so much to talk about. We want to welcome everybody back to the show. As you know, I am your host, RF. I have my co-host, Royce, which we'll bring on the line here in just a second. Now, just to remind everyone, you can call in. We're definitely expecting a lot of call-ins today. So much to talk about with the NFL, the NBA. And, of course, we got to talk about the Cowboys, the 0-2 Cowboys. So I know we got a lot of people ready to call in about that. The call-in number is 323-927-2906. That's 323-927-2906. You can call and listen, or you can call and voice your opinion. We welcome all callers, all questions. You can also catch us online at blogtalkradio.com/RF Sports. It's blogtalkradio.com/RF Sports. And, of course, you can catch us on Twitter at RF Sports Radio. Is our tagline on Twitter, so you guys can definitely follow us, catch updates on the show, and see some of the people that we talk to and get some of our inside information from. So without further ado, we're going to get the show started. I know this man's got a lot to talk about, especially about the Cowboys. I know he's going to kill me today. So I'm going to bring on my co-host real quick. Royce, you there?
What's happening? Are you Cowboy fans?
Well, Roy,
How's it going, Rodney?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm going to ask you a quick question. Now, I know we're going to get into plenty of Cowboys today, and you told me this could happen. You told me we could be having a show today about them being 0-2, and lo and behold, I guess you were right once again.
Yes, sir.
So I guess you were definitely right once again.
Well, Rodney, I'm looking at 0-3 now.
We ain't going to get there yet. We ain't going to go that far yet. We're going to spend a whole discussion about the Cowboys. Our Cowboys roundtable is going to start up about 10 o'clock tonight. We'll be going through a lot of the plays, a lot of the injuries that may have taken place in the game, and go over the whole game against the Bears, which they lost 27-20. So we're going to go into all that and review the whole NFL, get into a lot of sports stories, and get into all kinds of stuff. So, Royce, I'm going to give you the floor real quick. What do you want to talk about first? You want to get straight into the NFL? You want to get into college sports?
Well, I want to talk about the NFL.
I know you want to talk about the NFL.
The 1-1 Jets. Sunday, Mark Sanchez became a man. I mean, he played his butt off. He played brilliantly. He beat Tom Brady and the Patriots. First game, they didn't let him throw the ball. They limited his down the field throwing, and Sunday he became a man. He grew up. I also want to give a shout out to San Francisco. What a hell of a game last night.
Yeah, they still came up kind of short, even though they did play a hell of a game. You're right about that. Now, touching back on what you said about the Jets, now I think the main thing that happened in that Jets game is you saw them finally open up the playbook, finally let Sanchez throw the ball. I think in the first quarter, they didn't have any yards, and now I would say you saw a big explosion from the Jets once they took the handcuffs off and let Sanchez finally throw the ball downfield. And I think that was the biggest thing about the game. Of course, the Jets defense did show up and picked out Brady a couple of times, too.
Right, and he outplayed Tom Brady. He just pretty outplayed it. Hell of a game.
That's a big statement for a second-year quarterback to come in and outplay a three-time Super Bowl champion like Tom Brady. But you know how I feel about the Patriots. So win against the Patriots, I don't care who does it. It could be the 49ers, the Jets. It could be the Cowboys, whoever. I'm going to root for a win against the Patriots. And you already know how biased I am about that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're not a Patriot lover. We know that.
No, not
I also want to give a shout out to Alex Smith, Monday night game. He became a man, too. San Francisco was just a fraction of a half off from winning that game last night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you on that. We're going to definitely get in a whole lot more NFL talk, more, a little bit of everything. We want to also give a special shout out to all those that are on Twitter right now, sending your questions, your comments. Matter of fact, Royce, we just got a Twitter from 085, Mr. Ocho Cinco, say he's listening to the show. So we want to thank Ocho Cinco. Y'all can follow him at OG Ocho Cinco on Twitter as well, too. Or log on to our Twitter page. You can find out how to check in with Chad. So I want to thank Chad for listening in to the show. Appreciate that, Chad.
Thanks a lot, Chad.
All right, let's definitely get into a little bit of this college football real quick. The college football scene is starting to shake up really, really nice. We do got a lot of college football listeners out there. And one of the things we talked about is Mark Ingram coming back for Bama to see what he can do. Although Trent Richardson has been doing a great job, I think Mark Ingram, as we know, the Heisman Trophy winner from last year, came back with a vengeance. Had
yes,
two TDs, 151 yards rushing. I think he had 100 yards before the first quarter.
Right.
Although they did play Duke, but, I mean, can this guy be one of those guys, one of the second guys in history to win the Heisman Trophy twice? I don't know. What do you think about that?
Well, so far he's the leading candidate. I mean, the boy has an arm, he has legs, he's got the whole package.
Yeah. And I think the other guy that a lot of people are talking about is Denard Robinson out of Michigan. Since he's playing quarterback, he's throwing and doing everything as well, too. And Michigan had a win, had to come from behind and late and win. I think it's either going to be him or we could see Ingram do it all over again, especially if he starts running the ball the way he ran it this past Saturday. Another big game Saturday was the Michigan State-Notre Dame game. And now, who saw this game? I mean,
what a
game. The 49ers and the Saints, I mean, this was a nail-biter to the end. It ends on a trick play. And a trick play in overtime. And they actually steal one and get one from Notre Dame. MSU does have a pretty good team. Although Chris looks really, really good. Floyd looks really, really good. Both of these guys, I think, are going to be playing on Sunday. But, man, how can you say about the MSU backs, the running backs, they ran hard all night.
Oh, yeah.
They ran a trick play at the end and then get them a win against Notre Dame. I mean, that was a good win.
That was a very good game. If you missed that, you missed a doozy.
Oh, you missed one. You definitely missed one.
And the good thing about the two teams you just mentioned, Rodney, they both have a pretty good supporting cast. The defense is not bad. The offense is fantastic. Anytime you have a good quarterback and excellent running back in the backfield and a pretty good solid defense, you got a chance of winning.
Now, on a serious note in that game, we want to definitely send a special shout-out to the family of the coach, Mark D'Antonio, was actually hospitalized that Sunday having a mild heart attack, something that he suffered on Sunday. We heard that he has been released from the hospital. A lot of coaches are weighing in. Nick Saban made some comments about him. They're real good friends. So we want to definitely help him with a speedy recovery. We know that right now he needs to focus on his family and his health. He's supposed to take a leave of absence until January. So we'll see what happens with this Michigan State team. But I think if they keep going, I mean, they can win some games. They're already up pretty good. A good win against Notre Dame is always a good thing, too, I think.
All right.
So
Alabama looks like they're the number one team in the country so far. So we're still to be determined. Yeah, still early.
Yeah, I think Alabama is definitely the number one team, no doubt about that. Speaking of ranked teams, the Arkansas and Georgia game. Ryan Mallett gets a late game drive to win the game. Although Georgia missed a really, really good Hail Mary try at the very end. It could have went either way. They ran the play right, although they missed at the very end. Another game I was really watching, Royce, was at Texas and Texas Tech game. Now, we're talking about two teams that rooted, have fans all over the great state of Texas. I know I got some big Tech supporters on listening. I got big UT supporters listening. And I don't know. I mean, this guy, Garrett Gilbert, I hear all the hype. I've got a lot of people tell me about him. But the guy throws three interceptions. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I can't imagine a guy coming in and throwing three interceptions and leading you to a national title. You know, as interceptions go, the team with the most interceptions usually doesn't win. Texas got lucky this time. The Tech defense really just exploded. I don't know what happened to them. They had ended up losing the game. And on the touchdown drive that Texas had, they had two personal fouls in the pass interference call. I mean, you can't win like that. Where's the discipline on the Tech team? I thought Tommy Tuberville would have these guys ready to play. But apparently the coach can't play the game. It's got to be the players. And that's something that you always say, right?
Right. Players play the game, coach is coach.
Coach is coach, players play the game. So we definitely see what's going to happen in on that front. Couple of late-breaking news on the college football front. The Colorado Buffaloes have decided to finalize their deal to move to the Pac-10 early. They were supposed to move in 2012, the 2012 season. They actually finalized a deal today to move next year. So I don't know what this is going to do to the Big 12. I guess they're going to be the what, the Big 11? Is that what they're going to do next year?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be 11 next year.
So if Colorado leaves, I'm pretty sure there'll be another team that want to leave early. And this thing might shake up a lot quicker than we even know it. So hey, we'll just keep our ears peeled on that. And the number three Boise State team is still rolling. TCU is still rolling. Matter of fact, Oregon State, they're playing Oregon State this coming up Saturday. And get this, Royce, Oregon State actually painted their field blue for the Boise State game.
Is that I saw that. Yeah, I think so. They're used to the color blue, but, you know, I think the other team's going to be at odds just to see a blue field. You know, who wouldn't be? You know, you step out so used to playing on green astroturf and green grass to seeing a blue. I don't know. It may work to their disadvantage. They may just tear that blue field up. You know, we have to wait to see.
Yeah, I think this really plays into a lot of what the whole hype about Boise State. I mean, they're giving these guys a lot of credit. They're doing everything they can to win. Even though this team, they say, has got a cakewalk schedule. But these teams are doing everything in their might to try to beat this team. This is the last ranked team that they'll play. Oregon State's ranked 24. Of course, Boise State's ranked number 3. So we'll see what happens. I mean, I think this is going to be a game everyone's going to watch. And at least they're going to sell a bunch of tickets. So, and you know, college football, as we talked about before, how the money goes is a lot of time how it always goes. So we'll see what happens on that front. And then looking at this Colorado story, they just came across the wire that actually Colorado is going to lose $6.8 million just by leaving there. So I guess they're trying to hurry up and get out of there.
Yeah. Well, I'd be glad when they get these teams set. Like everybody's buying to get in a different league. I don't know if it's advantage for some or disadvantage for others. But it's shaking up the college system. Maybe this will lead to maybe a college playoff. So who knows? We'll see.
Yeah, we'll definitely keep our eyes out on that. And you guys can always get in contact with the show by email. The email address is rfsportsradio@gmail.com. And matter of fact, Royce, we did get an email. Someone emailed in to talk to you and wanted to comment on the story that we ran last week about what's better, the fan experience of the game or being at home and watching the game. And this emailer wrote in and says that the reason that no one's going to NFL games is because 1080p. Simple as that. The 1080p is the cause for everyone staying at home. And I know you're a big audio-video guy just like I am. I mean, that must be the reason. And other than that, then cost. I know you brought up how the cost is a lot different now than it was back then. So one of our listeners is definitely siding on your side saying that, hey, it's got to be the home theaters and the 1080p is the reason. So.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, tonight on Channel 8, WFA, Dallas, they're running a story about the cost of a family going to a football game, and the Dallas Cowboys is the highest ticket in the NFL. And a family of four, it's like taking a vacation.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I think that's
is.
What, with the economy going down, prices going up, you know, it's unaffordable. You know, you can go for $25 standing room only. Who wants to stand up, you know, during the whole game, you know, when you can sit and enjoy it in the high definition? You know, I grew up in black and white. And watching high definition, I'm still at all about that, you know, the clarity of the picture. And to me, it's just like sitting in the game. If you need to take a bathroom break, you know, if you have to go eat, you know, you have it all together. And I think a lot of people, you know, get together on Sundays, you know, for a family and get together football watching parties. And it's too much of a hassle. You know, the traffic, you got to pay to park, and you definitely have to eat, you know, and...
you definitely got to eat. And if you're taking a family of four and you're trying to eat at the game, I'm going to tell you now, you need to make sure you go on at the day after you get paid, because you're going to need some cash. You're gonna need
and then you have to plan it like a vacation, you know.
Right.
Instead of taking a family vacation, you know, we're going to go to the game. That's your vacation. You know,
right.
I think it's just unaffordable for most people nowadays.
I mean, you're going to have that conversation at the dinner table, hey, you want to go see Mickey Mouse or Tony Romo?
right, Tony Romo.
What do you want
take
to
take your charge.
Right.
I think
right.
Mickey Mouse is leading in this part of town. I don't think nobody wants to go see Tony Romo.
Yeah, especially after what they're doing lately.
Yeah, Mickey Mouse is a leading contender in that race.
Yeah, you're right about that. Now, we do want to remind everyone you can call in. The phone number is 323-927-2906, 323-927-2906. Another email that we did get, Royce, is about the Rangers. We talked a little bit about them last time, and I got a lot of emails about Rangers. Talk about the Rangers. Talk about the Rangers. Talk about the Rangers. And with the Cowboys 0-2, we know the whole city is in panic. The whole city is a Cowboy first town. But the Rangers are doing their thing. They actually came out today and said Josh Hamilton really only had fractured ribs, so he may not be out for the whole season.
Maybe
he might be back
before
in time for the playoffs.
Right. But I tell you what, what's the guy name taking Josh's place?
David Murphy
is doing a hell of a job. I mean, it's not like they missed him. We like to have Josh back because, of course, now you know as well as I do, right? And when the playoffs start, that's when the hitting goes down. So we'll see. We're going to need those bats and Josh, you know, come playoff time. But the biggest star in Dallas right now should be the Rangers because with the Cowboys on decline, and it's been a long time for Ranger fans to see them winning this much consistently, even after the All-Star break, because now you know after years and years, they're usually either up or down. All-Star break was always the determining factor for the Rangers. Either they go up or down at the All-Star. So they seem to be doing pretty good this year. They've been winning consistently. They know how to beat the Yankees now. That's always been a big hurdle for them. And my fingers are crossed. My prayers are with the Rangers. And Ranger fans deserve that. They really do deserve it. It's been a long time coming. Right.
Have y'all heard me say it before? I had season tickets to this team last year, the wrong year. Okay.
Right.
I haven't been to a game yet, but I am going to be at that playoff game because I feel like I deserve it, even though I only had season tickets just last year. So I feel like I'm definitely going to be at that playoff game. And hopefully you guys will come out there and support the Rangers as well, too. I know we're going to have a packed house, so we'll do a huge Rangers show once they start this playoff baseball, which is doesn't even sound right. I mean, can you believe that they're going to have games some of the same days as Cowboy games? I mean, that's whoever thought that was going to happen at the beginning of the season.
Ryan, I just got a message across the wire about Braylon Edwards. Have you heard? It's breaking news. Just came on ESPN, and he got arrested for DWI. Driving while intoxicated. Yeah, after a brilliant game he had Sunday, I guess he celebrated a little bit too much. So keep an eye out for further news to come later. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, he was arrested, for those that don't know, and we'll jump into the story now. He was actually arrested earlier than the wee hours of the morning, what I would consider last night, leaving the club or leaving wherever. Pulled over because the tint was too dark in his car. He apparently failed whatever driving test they gave him, so he was arrested for drunk driving. They say he was doing 120 miles an hour back in August of 2008 when he got arrested the first time. The second time was in October 2009 when he punched a man outside of a Cleveland nightclub, and then last night he gets arrested for DWI. And this guy is already on the NFL substance abuse. Up to the substance abuse policy, so I don't know what's going to happen with this. And you might not know this, Royce, but there were two other Jets with him at the time he got arrested.
Yeah, I understand it was four people in the car with him. Right, am I right?
Right.
Yeah, so.
And the other Jets were DeBrickashaw Ferguson and also Vernon Golston, although Braylon Ness was the only one that was arrested because he was driving at the time. Now, they do say they smelled marijuana in the car, though that hasn't been proven up until this point. And I don't know what's going to happen. Usually in cases like this, Goodell has been known to kind of wait and see, take a wait-and-see approach. But a lot of times the teams will take action right away. And so the debate out there has been whether he's going to play against the Dolphins, what's going to happen. And the teams already came forward, Royce, and say that he won't miss the game Sunday. You think that's a mistake? Should they go ahead and start benching him now, get some of those fans out the way?
You kind of have to have a wait-and-see attitude, you know. If he's found guilty, then he probably will be suspended. But now is not the time for that. You know, the Jets beginning of the season and after a brilliant game Sunday, you know, and they got their swagger back, to lose him is going to really cost them. I think it's going to be a really big minus for them. So we'll wait to see.
And let's not forget they're missing their pickup in the offseason, Santonio Holmes, which is out for the first four games. So losing Braywell Edwards will be a real blow, especially with the offense finally getting back on track this past Sunday. So I know they made the decision in the best interest of the team at the time. Mm-hmm. But like I say, a lot of times when you be proactive about stuff like that in NFL, sometimes the commissioner will give you a little leeway, give you a little break. So they're kind of on this one.
And you would think after all the years and much as they go to, much money they make, that, you know, if you're going to get drunk, you can afford a driver. You know, either a designated driver or hire your chauffeur or take your cab. And I'm pretty sure you probably get a fan to take you home, you know what I mean, if you're that drunk, you know. But, that you know, it's a bad thing to happen, you know, and these guys know better, you know, and it breaks my heart to see them, you know, mess up a good thing like that, you know. And I want to give a shout-out to Kenny McKinney, Denver Broncos, passed away the other day. They finally ruled it as a suicide, and my prayers and thoughts go out to him and his family and the Denver Broncos organization. So I wanted to bring that up. We were talking about these players. Yeah, it's a tragic when you lose a friend, and he was, everybody speaks highly about him. I don't know the circumstances surrounding his death, but they ruled it a suicide. So my prayers go out to the Denver organization.
Definitely, and I second that as well. The guy was a young guy, had a one-year-old son. He was on the injury IR list this year, but played eight games last year, returning kickoffs, punts, special teams, even a little wide receiver. And he was one of those guys on the team, as they described him, as someone that kind of lit up the room. One of the players actually told a story today about how he had a little get-together over him. He's a young guy, and some of the players were actually out there on the front of the yard making a bunch of noise. And he came out there and said, "Hey, y'all just bring it inside because I've got neighbors, and I want to be respectful." And for a young guy, young in the NFL, young father, and, you know, from what all accounts, he sounds like a really responsible person. And we don't know the circumstances, and we don't want to speculate, especially here in the media, about what he was going through and what was happening. So all we do and what we try to do on this show is just be supportive of the friends and the family and those that are going to be missing him for years to come, especially his young son.
And this is the second time that a teammate has, you know, live been taken with the Denver organization, you know. I know they've been through a lot. My prayers go out to them. I hope they do have somebody to come in and counsel the players, you know, and it's a tragic thing, you know what I mean, but our prayers do go out to them. You know, and when you're in that profession, you know, it's kind of hard. You're target number one. Number two, you're in the public eye. You know, number three, you're a man. Carry yourself as a man. You know what I mean? Your college days are over with. You know what I mean? You're a professional player. There's plenty of time during the off season, you know, to enjoy yourself. You know what I mean? And there are people that go to clubs just to, you know, challenge these players. You know what I mean? So they really have to, you know, you really have to be careful out there. You know what I mean? It's a cruel world as it is, and being a target, you know, with a target on your back, and money and prestige and all that goes with it. You really have to be careful out there. So, any of you guys that are getting ready to step into the NFL, thing is, remember where you come from and remember what you do, and always be careful and carry yourself as a man. You know, that's the main thing. But I hate to see that happen. There had to be something tragic. And like I say, there's the second time it's happened to the Denver organization. And I wish the best for him and his family.
Yeah, man. I second that as well. So we definitely want to send our prayers out for them. And also for a good well to the culture of Michigan State also. Another big issue going on in the NFL, just staying on the NFL real quick. Now, we talked about this, Royce, for the last, 2 weeks after week one, when Vic finally came in the second half of that Green Bay game. And Vic finally had his day this past Sunday, played a full game. Offense scored, 35 points?
35 points. Right.
So Sunday comes, and in the press conference Sunday, Andy Reid gets bombarded with questions. Who's your starter? Who's your quarterback? He's still preaching to Kevin Cobb to us, okay? Monday comes around, all right? It's still Kevin Cobb. Kevin Cobb, he's my guy. He's going to run this offense. Matter of fact, he even said on Monday that we can run with either quarterback. So I feel confident putting Cobb back in the game. Okay, so here we are Tuesday, which I love doing the show on Tuesday, so we get everyone's reaction or overreaction. And now here comes Andy Reid back out in the public again, and names Mike Vick the number one quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles.
You know, right now I think it was pressure from the fans, pressure from upstairs. A couple of reasons. Number one, Mike Vick is a bigger draw. You know, I think by them trading Donovan McNabb, they probably lost a lot of fans. But while I'm starting Mike Vick, I think they fans are coming back, you know, especially after that loss they had with Kevin Cobb. And I hope they don't have to go back with him. Are they going to take Vick out when he messes up? You know, so I don't know. It's a lot of players seem to want that, but I think that's going to cause some distraught in the locker room. You know, Cobb is a pretty good quarterback. He hadn't really had a chance to prove himself. But these are desperate times in the NFL. You know, you go 1-1 and 2-0 or 0-2, you know what I mean? Everybody wants to win. I think I see a couple of teams that are in disarray. So let's hope that doesn't happen to Philly, and I wish Michael Vick the best. You know, you go with your best player as far as athlete. You know, he's probably a better athlete. You know what I mean? You go. And until he messed up, you know, you got to go with him. They brought him there for a reason, and they let Donovan go. So they're kind of in a situation where they're going to have to win or go with the best thing they have right now. So we're waiting to see how that turns out.
Yeah, and let's rewind the clock a little bit, because even in the offseason, they could have traded Vic. They could have easily traded Vic, brought in some more players. They made the trade for McNabb within his own division with the whole hope and the goal that Kevin Cobb was going to be the right man to run the offense. And they kept Vic around. They still kept the Vic package in. And we talked about how the Cowboys got three running backs. These guys are running two quarterbacks throughout the game plan. That's their whole game plan. And now how the tables have turned, Vic looked good week one. Week two came out and put up 35 points. An offense that scored every quarter.
Right, 100 yards rushing. Right.
100 yards rushing. Vic went 21 for 34, 284 yards and two TDs on the offense that didn't look like it could do nothing that first half against the Green Bay Packers. And the guy, and this is old school, you know how you always say old school was better than the new school? Well, this guy played and got his spot the old school way, just by outplaying the top guy.
One-on-one,
just straight outplayed the guy. And this right here, I think, is going to be the story in the NFL this year, Vic's redemption. him coming back, and since he's been the starter, they haven't lost yet since he's been the starter.
I am. Right.
Could have easily won that game against the Packers in week one if they had a little more time or Vic been out there a little bit longer, too. I think they could have easily won that game.
Right. And he looks to be in good shape. I mean, he's physically, just looking at him, he had his legs back, you know, last year coming off, being off so wild. You know, it takes a while to get back in shape. He looks good. He's probably one of the fastest guys in the NFL. So you go with your best player. You know, your best chance to win will be, probably be Michael Vick. So we'll see. I wish him the best.
And looking at some of the headlines here in Philadelphia, which I know they're going to be massive headlines coming up tomorrow once this story finally hits the front page. But looking on the websites in Philly, everyone's wondering what it would mean for Kevin Cobb. I mean, what does it say for Kevin Cobb's company as well? To me, I think Kevin Cobb is over in Philly. And I was going to flat out say it. I mean, how can a guy go from, hey, we love you, we want you to be the starter, we're going to trade our 10-year pro bowler, the only guy that took us to the Super Bowl, we're going to trade him within the division just to give you a chance to be the starting quarterback and the face of the Philadelphia Eagles. But then again, Vic's outplaying you right now. So what does that do for the psyche for a player like Kevin Cobb, who's been told all this offseason, all year, that this is your year, we're going to get rid of McNabb, bring you in, but now, you know what, now that you can play, we don't want you in the game. We want Michael Vick in the game. I mean, what does that do to a player like Kevin Cobb? I think it's over for Kevin Cobb, me personally, in Philly. Anyway.
Yeah, I do too. And it seems like the players picked up the pace of the game. You know, they played a lot harder. You know, they gave themselves a chance to win. You know, Michael Vick was a spark off the bench. You know, I don't think nobody expected that. You know, and once he started playing and started moving those legs and started making those passes, I think the whole team rallied behind him. I just hope it's not a big divide in the locker room. You know, we'll wait and see. But winning changes everything. Once you win, forget all about that. Right.
Winning is the world's greatest deodorant. I don't care how
bad
stuff stinks in the locker room. Winning is the best deodorant there is out there, especially in the NFL, because we already know how many teams were split. You hear the stories. You read the books that these guys put out later on in their careers. So we know you don't have to like each other to win. And I think as long as they're winning, I think Vick will hold his spot, no doubt about it. Yeah, exactly. Now, you touched on earlier, you couldn't hold it in. You had to bring up Mark Sanchez by how you outplayed Tom Brady. And so I'm going to bring in the counterpoint to that argument. I got to welcome in one of our special guest callers on the show. And this guy is a Patriot fan, and he's definitely a Tom Brady fan. So I'm going to see what he thought about the game this Sunday. Let me bring him on real quick. Chris, are you there?
Yes, we're here. Go Patriots.
Now, Chris, I'm glad you're on the line. Now, we missed you last time, okay, to talk about this game before the game come on. Now, let me just go over a little bit with you, okay? Just give me 1 second. I'm going to go over what your boy Tom Brady did this particular week, okay?
Well, there's no doubt he had two interceptions. I mean, it wasn't the greatest day in football and you know, for the Patriots and all the fans out there. But, you know, if you look at pretty much kind of how this week went overall, it was kind of a, you know, kind of an upset week. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's kind of to be expected. Can't win them all, you know, but we'll definitely be in the playoffs, though. It's all about where you be in the end. I mean, this is week two. I mean, this is, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it's a small.
Okay.
Well, it has to be an upset. I think they've just got flat-out beat.
They just got outplayed.
You can't win
on
both
ends. On both sides, offense and defense. And like I said,
the problem was Butler. The problem is Butler. He got exposed in the first half, and then he just kept getting exposed the whole game.
But not just Butler. I think your whole defense got exposed.
Yeah,
you got a young secondary. They untested. They were tested Sunday.
In my personal opinion, I think that Butler
was single-handedly responsible for 80% of that loss.
Well, I think Butler threw two picks.
Yeah,
I think Tom Brady did that.
I just called it like I see it. He got exposed the whole game. He was responsible for the whole comeback. Now, offense took the lead and put them up, but defense couldn't hold the lead. I mean, just what they put up before the half was, you know, it was just ridiculous.
Yeah, but
you know,
Chris,
on
Butler. You have to understand, you can't – now, you watch the game. I watched the game with you, okay?
Right.
You can't win throwing picks, okay? And all the picks that he threw, the first pick, he overthrew. I don't know who he was throwing. I don't know if Randy Moss stopped on the route or what. But just
basically, that's what happened.
Randy Moss. Okay.
But, I mean, that's not uncommon.
And then on the second pick, he was trying to force it in there under pressure, under the gun, and ended up throwing another pick. You guys only scored 14 points in the second quarter and went silent and went cold for the whole second half. Now, I'm going
to
ask you, the game is played on the field. We all know that the game is played on the field.
Right.
Are the Jets a better team than the Patriots right now?
No.
And
no,
without Revis.
If you look at how the game went, the interceptions, Randy Moss stopped on the first route, which, I mean, let's be real here, which is not uncommon. Players like him and a few others, T.O. is one, for instance, if the ball's kind of not on route or it requires a little bit of extra effort, they don't have it in them. You know, I don't know if it's age or what. I mean, it's not uncommon for them to have that itis, I guess, if you want to call it. Now, the second interception was an error on Randy Moss's part, bobbling the ball, basically trying to do the same thing, a one-hand catch, and, you know, I don't know if he was trying to look pretty or what, but, I mean, it caused an interception. So, I mean, those interceptions wasn't part on Brady's responsibility, personally, I think. But then, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, defense had to hold it down during those two interceptions and those turnovers, but, you know, they couldn't capitalize off of it. Butler, once again, got exposed basically for both touchdowns.
So you put this loss squarely on Butler.
Squarely on Butler.
I think the Jets were better prepared than the Patriots. The Patriots probably underestimated the Jets because they lost the first week. Sanchez didn't throw downfield. I think they kind of took them for granted. And you know how that is. If you think it's an automatic win, you better wait a while. You know what I mean? No game is a sure win. So I just think they were out-coached that day. And that happens in the NFL. You know, you're not going to win every game.
But you can't sit there and tell me that the Jets are a better team than the Patriots.
Well, they were Sunday.
They
were Sunday.
Well, I mean, we'll see. We'll see in come playoff time. You know, when it gets cold outside, we'll see who's going to be there when all the dust settles. I mean, I'm pretty sure, you know, and 100% that my team is going to be there in the end. So, I mean, that's one game. It's week two.
Well, just realize that you guys right now, so was your first loss and the first loss against a divisional opponent. Okay?
Right.
And those are the games that you can't lose. You can't lose.
And Jets playing cold weather, too. So, it's waiting to be determined. Last year, it was the Ravens that upset y'all. And this year, it was the Jets. So, New England's not indestructible. You know, they're a good team, but they are able to get beat. So
the defense will get better over time. And I think they need some time to kind of gel. A lot of the guys are young. I think they'll get better over time. And Belichick is one of those guys, he's going to figure it out. If you beat him once, it's very hard to beat him a second time.
And we all know that.
Belichick is going to figure it out. Now he gonna
either
have somebody videotaping the hand calls or somebody sitting on the couch watching the game.
Hey,
you know he will cheat to win, Chris. Now let's be honest.
Hey, man.
He will cheat to win.
I mean, you say tomato, I say tomato, man. I call it excellent coaching, man. You know, And, I mean, that's just how I see it. Now, you know, I mean, true enough, I'm on the line with, you know, anti-Patriots fans, but, I mean, that's fine. And, Danny, you know, we ain't here to squarely get on my team, you know, because, I mean, let's look at, I believe your team lost this weekend as well. So, I mean,
we're going to get to that. We're going to get together.
Right.
And I have a list of reasons why all my Cowboy fans need to be optimistic about the season. We're going to get into that in the Cowboys.
I feel as Cowboys are not going to go very far at all as long as Jason Garrett is at the helm of that offense. That's just
well, you know, it's kind of early in the season, about the eighth to ninth game. We'll know who's the most dominant team and what teams are, you know, on the roll. And it's really too early to tell. Like I said, nobody's going to go perfect, you know, during this season. But about the eighth game, the halfway mark, we'll know who's a contender and who's not a contender. So I give you that game, Chris. I give it to you, you know, that game. It's just one game.
Yeah.
You know, that
one game. It's one game in the grand scheme
game.
Of things. One game.
Right.
We want to thank you for popping on and discussing a little Patriots football. Anytime the Patriots lose, I'd love to have you as a guest.
Well, yeah. I mean, as long as your team loses, there's plenty to talk about.
Right.
Be sure to call back, Chris, when the Patriots are playing. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah.
Right on.
And I'm going to keep
all
you around,
right,
too, Chris. You stay where you're at, man, and call back in, because we're going to get into a lot of Cowboy talk, and I give you a chance to get some redemption against my team here in a second. But what we're going to do, Royce, we're going to go through the NFL real quick since we're already on the subject and go through some of the scores and some of the games, because we did watch a lot of football this weekend. Now, one of the games that was a pure blowout, the Atlanta Falcons putting up 41 points against the Arizona Cardinals. And we talked about this, about who the Arizona, Arizona, what they're going to do about quarterback. They get rid of Matt Liner. They bring in Anderson. Anderson goes 17 for 31, 161 yards, no TDs. Hightower does rush for 115, but one TD. And Fitzgerald has 7 receptions, but no TDs. I mean, what's going on in Arizona? I mean, these guys used to be what? The part two of
the
greatest show
in the West.
Kurt Warner.
Right.
Yeah, best
right.
team in the West.
Right.
And that goes to show you how much quarterback play has to play into a whole lot of things right there.
Right. Right. Well, when they lost Kurt Warner, they lost the leader of the team. They also lost one of the best quarterbacks ever to play the game. And it's kind of hard to come back from that. You know, they lost Antoine Bolden. So it's yet to be determined. Defense seems to be still intact somewhat, but you got to put points on the board, and that's what they're lacking. And I think the leadership, Kurt Warner can make something happen out of nothing, and they don't have
Matt
that
Ryan,
now.
On
right.
the contrast, Matt Ryan goes 21 for 32, 225
right.
yards, 3 TDs, Snelling rushes for 2 TDs and 129 yards, and White catches one. For a touchdown, had 7 receptions and 78 yards. And the Falcons put up 41 points, a team that I thought was really going to contend for that South and give your New Orleans Saints a run for their money. And they're coming, as you can tell, putting up 41
points. Yeah, Atlanta's a good team. They were predicted to be high this year. I think they were predicted to win, you know, to go to the playoffs. First game, I think they were starting a little bit, look like they got it together. I look for Atlanta to go real far. But like I say, all this is yet to be determined. It's still early. But it seems like they got it together this week. I look for them to continue on that route. But Atlanta Falcons, you know, they made it to the playoffs last year. And when they play good, they good. When they bad, they bad. So you have to be determined about them. So.
And then another game, and I went, and I'm gonna go ahead and be up front and honest. I went 10-6 on my picks from week 2, and this is one of the games that I missed, the Bengals and the Ravens. The Bengals pull out, I don't know how, but pull out a win of 15-10 against the Ravens. A Ravens team I thought would flatten the Bengals, even though the Bengals did dominate the AFC North all last year and swept the AFC North, and apparently they still got the Ravens' number. Now, they don't score any touchdowns, okay? Nugent kicks 5 field goals to win the game against the Ravens. Now, I don't know. I mean, a team with Carson Palmer, Cedric Benson, Terrell Owens, Ocho Cinco, they score no TDs, so the offense, you can't say, is back on track, but somehow get 5 field goals and beat a really, really good Ravens team. I mean, that's remarkable.
You know, anytime you play the Ravens, it's going to be a low-scoring, ugly game because they win a lot of games just on their defense. So I didn't look for Cincinnati to score a lot of points. I did look for them to score touchdowns. I did look for them to win. I think that was one of my picks. So that gives me one up on you. Go Cincinnati.
Yeah. And the thing that did the Ravens in, they had 4 turnovers, and Cincinnati did not turn the ball over at all. So they played into the field position game and allowed them to kick 5 field goals to win a game 15-10 against a really good Ravens team. I don't know what to make of this Ravens team. I thought I saw them demolish the Jets and do that against the Jets. I thought they'd come out here and really handle a team that beat them twice last year. But like you say, it's only one game, so we'll see what's going to happen. It is only week 2.
And you can't expect the Ravens to score 30, 25, 40 points a game. They're usually low-scoring games, and, you know, they can win a game 9-6, you know. So until they get their offense together, I don't look for them to score a whole lot of points, but they do just enough to win, you know. Defense win a lot of games. Right.
Now, here's another game Sunday, and this I thought was going to be a yawner game. The Chiefs and the Browns, it turned out to be 16-14 game. The Browns scored 14 points in the second quarter and can't do nothing else the rest of the game. And they actually didn't start Jake DeLone. They went with Seneca Wallace. He went 16 for 31, 229 yards, and 1 TD. And Matt Castle, the Kansas City thing, keeps rolling. And these guys are 2-0.
Right.
Matt Castle, who would have thought that? They go 2-0. He went 16 for 28, 176 yards. Jones rushed for 83 yards. And the Chiefs' offense really ain't on track. They only did score they didn't really actually score a touchdown. And they actually kicked field goals, so they did score every quarter, and that was the difference in the game, in the 16-14 game. And the Chiefs are 2-0. What do you think about this Chiefs team?
Well, one thing about Kansas City, if you notice last year, they were always close. And they didn't know how to finish games. I think they learned this year, you know, how to finish games. And you know, a lot of times it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And they could never get over that hump. And they were, but if you notice, every game last year, we either lost in the last quarter, a field goal, overtime, and they finally learned how to win. It's a good young team. I look for them to do better in the future. Kansas City is back in the mix now. A couple more wins will give them a lot of confidence. And I look for them to be a contender. They can only get better.
They can only get better. You're right about
they
that.
They can only get better, right.
Especially
can't get any worse.
Especially in the wide open West. West, too.
That's right.
Another game on Sunday with the Packers. The Packers put up 34 points. They keep rolling. The Super Bowl talk gets louder and louder. They beat the Bills. A team that, I don't know what the Bills are doing in the NFL. They only scored 7 points. Trent Edwards went 11 for 18 for 102 yards, no touchdowns. And the defense just shut down the Bills. I mean, they couldn't do anything. Marshawn Lynch went for 64 yards. If you had him on your fantasy team, I know you dropped him today. Then Aaron Rodgers keeps the train rolling, 19 for 29, 255 yards and 2 TDs. Mm. In a game, I thought he'd actually do more. I thought he'd have a lot more passing yards in a game like this. But the Packers continue to roll. They're 2-0, and the Bills, of course, 0-2. It's normally how they start. And then you have the Steelers and the Titans game. It's another game that I missed
on
my picks because I really thought Tennessee was going to roll. Steelers game without their starting quarterback, their Super Bowl quarterback, Roethlisberger. And even Dennis Dixon gets knocked out of the game, and they had to bring in old Charlie Batch. And Ozo Batch went 5 of 11, 25 yards. Again, the defense did it again. And they beat a good Titans team.
I don't know how Pittsburgh's 2-0. I guess they surprised me with the defense. They've always had a good defense. But, you know, sometimes defense win games, and sometimes defense don't win games. The two wins they have was because of the defense. They managed to keep it close. And if you notice, Pittsburgh always managed to stay close. You know, as long as you stay close to a team, you always got a chance to win. You let them get too far ahead, you don't. And they have a tremendous defense. I mean, that Palomar, as long as you have him on the team, you got a chance. The guy is relentless. You know, he never gives up. He plays every play 110%. And you can't go wrong with a guy like that on your team. He can single-handedly win a game. And that really builds up the rest of the team. This guy playing like this, well, I better step it up too. But Pittsburgh has always found a way to win by staying close. As long as you stay close,
I've got the Pittsburgh defense on my fantasy team, and they're consistently bringing in the points for me. And as the offense didn't score, they ran the opening kickoff back for a touchdown. That was the only touchdown that they had. They did score a couple of field goals in there. Now, the game, the real story, it didn't not only have the Pittsburgh Steelers 2-0 without Roethlisberger or their backup quarterback, but they actually benched Vince Young in the game and brought in Kerry Collins towards the end of the game. Collins went 17-25, 149 yards and one TD. Now, I don't understand this. I mean, now, make me understand, okay? Vince Young is your starter, okay?
Right.
You're in the game that you lost 19-11, all right? Now, granted that they benched Vince Young, and they only had 3 points on the board, but you only lost the game 19-11. Why do you bench Vince Young to put in Kerry Collins?
Well, I don't understand Fisher's philosophy on that. You know, you got to – it's just like going to the prom. You got to go with the one that brings it. And after that performance the first week to yank him, you know, I don't understand that. But Kerry Collins – you know, they did it last year.
Right.
He came in and did it. He's a proven veteran. Either you got to go with one or the other. You know, and Vince Young, should be in there. He should play every down, win or lose. Looks like he got a swagger back. And I think the whole team was a letdown. Sunday.
Now, granted, I will say that they did have 7 turnovers, and Michigan did look like a deer in headlights a lot of times against that Pittsburgh defense. But that's what he needs to see. Okay, he needs to have confidence from the team. He needs to have adversity. That's all part of the maturation process for a quarterback. And by pulling him and sitting him on the bench again, then you bringing up all this other stuff like you brought up last season. Or the season before, when they actually had the best record in the AFC. So I just think, as Jeff Fisher, you got to lead this guy in. You got to instill some confidence in this guy. And you got to make him, if they're going to lose the game, make sure that it's like the captain has to go down with the ship. It's like the band has to keep playing on the Titanic. Okay, your starting quarterback needs to go down with the rest of the team.
Somebody needs to tell Jeff Fisher that Pittsburgh is going to frustrate a lot of quarterbacks, but it don't think Vince Young is going to be the only one he's going to frustrate. But they're going to frustrate. That defense is going to frustrate a lot of quarterbacks. You know, so I don't agree with the decision he made. Unless Vince Young was hurt, they didn't mention it. Goes on. And, you know, his situation – you know, we never know what goes on the sideline and in the huddle and locker room. But I think something happened, you know, and a lot of times you can pull a gun too quick or pull a trigger too quick. And I think they did that with Vince Young. Like I said, you got to go with the one that brung you. You know what I mean? Win or lose, he's your quarterback. So,
right.
You know, I see a lot of that in the NFL. This past week, you know, switching quarterbacks and the eagerness to win. But like I said, it's still early in the season. You know what I mean? It's still too early. Second, third game, and you're switching quarterbacks. You know, I don't understand that. That's
now, some of these teams, they're switching for a better purpose. I mean, if you're going to switch, it's better to switch early.
Right.
You got, in a lot of cases, but not in this case. And Chris Johnson was shut down. He had 16 carries and 34 yards. This is a guy that had, 2,200 yards rushing last season.
Right.
So
right.
He gets shut down. I'm pretty sure everybody on the sideline was starting to panic.
Another
game
that
went on that I lost on my 10-6 record last.
Oh, yeah, another loss, huh?
Yeah, another loss. And that was the Vikings and the Dolphins. I thought really the Vikings were going to do it, at least go 1-1. Brett Favre's at home. I thought he'd get a win in there. And the Dolphins' defense just dominated this guy. Favre fumbles, has 3 interceptions. I mean, what do you think about this, Dad? I mean, was it the right decision to bring him back, to go down there and visit him and make him come back?
Well, you know, a lot of sports writers pick Miami to be in the playoffs this year. You know, Miami is one of those teams that you really don't pay attention to because they're not the Dolphins of old, you know. And I think people need to start realizing that they are a good team. They are a contender. Excellent coaching, young players, and they play hard. You know, last year they were one of those teams that lost by just a little bit or not finishing games. So they are silent killers to me. I'm going to tell everybody you need to be aware of the Dolphins. I think they're forced to be reckoned with. You know, they don't look pretty doing it. They don't have a lot of big name stars, but they do find a way to win, and they play as a team.
And this defense actually shut down Adrian Peterson in the red zone. They actually ran the ball 6 straight times to get into the end zone and got stopped every time by this defense. And it's not hard to stop a guy like AP in the red zone.
Right.
We all know that.
Brett Favre looked like he should have practiced. He came late.
Yeah.
He didn't practice. He didn't show up. And the age is starting to kick in. You know, the older you get, you know, the body don't take much. So it's yet to be determined. I don't see him finishing the whole season. But who knows, he's resilient. You know, he takes the punishment, but I bet he wished he had stayed at home, you know, probably about the 8th, 9th week of the year.
I know he wished he stayed at home after that Dolphins game. And then, I remember last year, it took Brett a little while to kind of warm up.
Week 3,
he threw that big touchdown against the 49ers at the very end.
Right.
And kind of got a swagger back. Now, you notice the body language of Brett is totally different than it was last year.
Last year,
he was running down the field, making blocks, putting guys on his shoulder. And you don't see that from Brett. You don't see that boy, I love to play the game from Brett anymore.
Right.
I saw him walking into the game on the pregame show. He's limping. He's walking slow, you know, and then it didn't look like that same guy that was a man playing the kids game last year. And I think that's a lot to be said. You can always read somebody's body language and know that they're not happy. Now, he doesn't have a receiver in Sidney Rice. Percy Harvin is week to week.
Right.
And, I mean, he just doesn't have the weapons out there like he had last year, and he's paying for it.
Well, you know, when you get close to 40, Rodney, you still think you can do stuff you did in your 30s. You know, your mind says one thing, but your body says another. I think Brad is starting to realize that. And I guarantee you, and you can put this in the books, he won't be back next year. This will be his last year.
Yeah,
I don't think he wants to put himself through that again. So, but as long as you have Brett Favre, you have a chance. He still has the arm. And I think when he gets some of his receivers back and the team start to gel, you know, you always have Adrian Peterson you can get the ball to, you know, and once they get going, I see him winning some games. But I don't think he can make the whole season. You know, that's a long season. You know, it's a long way to go. You know,
we'll learn a lot about this 2-0 Dolphins team next week when they play the Jets.
Keep your eye on the Dolphins. They're silent killers. Nobody talks a lot about the Dolphins, but they always find a way to win, and they beat good teams. They do beat good teams. They play as a team. No big stars, but they are really good teams. A decent quarterback. They're a young team, and watch out for the Dolphins.
And let's go to another 2-0 team, a surprise 2-0 team. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers put up 20 points against the Panthers, 20-7. Matt Moore did start this game. It went for 6-for-16, 125 yards and one TD. And Josh Freeman, second-year player Josh Freeman, 12-24, 178 yards, two TDs. Cadillac Williams only rushed for 51 yards and 27 carries, so he was shut down. But then D'Angelo Williams only rushes for 54 yards and 17 carries. He gets shut down also. And the Bucs, I mean, the first 2-0 start in 5 years. I mean, this is a young team, and it's another scary team too, especially in the NFC South. But they're 2-0, and then you still got a team like the Falcons. You still got a team like the Saints. The NFC South could be the one to sneak a wild card in there this year.
Well, I think they got a resurgence in Miami when LeBron went down. I think it fired up the whole town. Seems that way. But if you notice, Tampa Bay, the last part of last season, were winning games.
Right.
You know, I think they took up where they left off. In the off season, they got better. And they're another young team. And Tampa Bay has always been a hard-hitting team. And it's surprising to me that they're 2-0, but it's yet to be determined, you know, what kind of team they are, you know. And we'll know by week six, you know,
right,
if they beat some good teams. But they look pretty good. I'm shocked. You know, I'm one of those that didn't believe that, you know. But who knows? This season looks like it's turned out to be really a big surprise. If you ask me today who would be in the playoffs, I couldn't tell you at this point. You know, who knows?
I mean, you know, in the season, it's a good thing about the NFL. So much parity, and it always starts out this way.
Right.
We always know at the end what's going to happen. And this is actually a game that I won. I picked this game.
Right.
I picked the Buccaneers to beat the Panthers, and I won this game. Like, a game I did lose, and I don't know what I was thinking. I got built into the hype with Pete Carroll and the college atmosphere and picked the Seahawks, and they got drilled by the Broncos 31-14.
Right.
A team that I know you secretly really love and want to win is this Broncos team. And Cal Horton
goes
for 307 yards, two TDs, 25-35. And Cal Horton basically lit him up this time, man.
Yeah, I think Cal Horton found new life in Denver. Chicago, I don't think they fit his system. You know, quarterback, he didn't fit in with Chicago, but he went to Denver and like he found a youth. Broncos has always been my team. I'm an old Orange Crush fan from Elway days. I really like the coach. I like the team. They do give you 100%. Anytime, win or lose, you get a team to go out and play their butt off. You know what I mean? You always have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
So, kudos to the Broncos.
Yeah.
But
that was a good win for them. They beat a Seattle team that was pretty high on themselves after week one, after demolishing the 49ers week one. And they actually had four turnovers, and that was the key to this game. Anytime you got four turnovers, it's hard to win. When you lose the turnover battle. Another game that I actually picked, and I was giving this team some credit. I didn't think they'd go 0-2, especially against a team as sorry as the Raiders. But the Rams end up losing a close game, 16-14, to the Oakland Raiders. Sam Bradford, I'm still pretty impressed by this guy. I didn't give him a lot of credit starting the season. I thought coming off an injury like that, I just couldn't see how he could – just click the switch on after not really playing a full year of college football and jumping in the NFL. But those two TDs has 167 yards. And to me, what's lacking for the Rams is Steven Jackson. Where is Steven Jackson?
I don't know.
This guy hasn't broken the 100-yard barrier yet. Where is Steven Jackson at?
Well, if he get on track and with Bradford playing the way he is, I look for him to win. But I think they're about 2 years away from being a contender. You know, St. Louis, it's like building a whole new team. You know, they broke it down. They lost a couple of key players last year. So I think they're 2 years away. But they got a solid foundation in Bradford. I think Bradford is the future of St. Louis. So we will see.
And St. Louis was winning this game until the coach took out Jason Campbell, the guy they traded for, and put in Gradkowski. And Gradkowski leads the team past the Raiders. So we'll see what happens next week, who's going to start for this Raiders team. Gradkowski went 11 for 22, 162 yards. Darren McFadden had 145 yards rushing. Where has that been for the last year? And I just still say Steven Jackson, although he's on my fantasy team, needs to get his butt in gear. I need to see 100 yards, a consistent
ball. Oh, yeah.
Steven, if you
He'll get a couple of 100-yard games, trust me, before the season over. So it's not a bad pick. You know, it's just the rest of the team getting together. Once they get together, they will win a couple of games. But I think they're about 2 years away. You got a running back. You got a quarterback. There's something to build on.
Yeah, I agree with that. And then you got the Chargers beating up on the Jaguars, 38-13. Phillip Rivers, they finally turned the light on after losing to Kansas City. And Phillip Rivers went 22 for 29, 334 yards and three TDs. Tolbert rushes for two TDs. Ryan Matthews gets hurt, come out of the game. And then Floyd had three receptions for one TD. So the Chargers look like they're back on track, put up a bunch of points against a Jaguars team that used to be known for defense. But the Chargers defense was back on track and forcing six turnovers from the Jaguars. You just can't win when you have six turnovers.
Oh, yeah, and that first game was from San Diego, a lot better than that show the first game. They're back on track. They are scary. And if they ever get going, look out. Because they're a solid ball club. As long as you have Phillip Rivers, you got a chance.
Right. And the Sunday night game, of course, the Manning Bowl, as we like to call it, the game that only happens once every 4 years. And the Colts do exactly what I thought they'd do and beat up on the Giants, 38-14. Giants don't even score until the second half of the game. Eli Manning, went 13 for 24, 161 yards, two TDs, and Big Brother Peyton went 20 for 26 for 255 yards and three TDs. Now, it's something to be said whenever you can play your little brother or your older brother.
Right. You're always going to beat up on your little brother.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. And that was a good game to watch. I mean, it was entertaining. Although I knew the Colts would just overmatch the Giants. The Giants defense, I'm not impressed.
Right.
Not one bit. I'm really not impressed.
Right.
But you know one thing about the Giants, they always gonna play the NFC East teams close and to the vest every time. So we'll see what happens when they start playing within their division.
Yeah. Well, the Giants are a team that you really can't put a thing on. The game they supposed to win, they don't. The game, you know what I mean? And the game they don't win, you know, that's how they are. So I really don't know. They're on paper, and from last year, they're a really good team, but it was one of those situations where the big brother picks on the little brother. So that's going to always happen. It's always been like that in history. But far as the East, I think they will be up there in the top two or three teams in the East. And you really can't count the Jazz out because you don't know what team's going to show up.
Yeah, that is true. And they always got a home for the bench when it comes to those cold up there in New York. So we'll see what happens. Now, this game, Royce, now me and you watched the ending of this game, and I honestly thought this was going to be the game of the year until we saw last night, the game of the week until we saw what we saw last night. And that was the 2-0 Texans come from nowhere. And
17-point deficit.
Yeah, and beat the Redskins. Now, we watched the end of this game. Now, you had two quarterbacks in this game go for over 400 yards passing. McNabb went 28 for 38, 426. And Schaub, out of nowhere, goes 38 to 52 for 497 yards and three TDs.
Both quarterbacks played the game of their life. Somebody had to win. But I got to give my hat, tip my hat off to Houston. Last year, this team couldn't have done that, wouldn't have done that. But I think the win over the Colts gave them confidence. And I was almost ready to call it quits. And it was 2 minutes left in the game. They drove back, scored, tied the game up. I mean, came back from 17 points out. I thought the game was over. Donovan McNabb hadn't played that good in years. And I really thought that they had won. But I guess Houston has learned how to win in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, yeah. And I, you know what? We had a caller last week that called in, talked about the Texans, told us the Texans were the team to watch.
Right, and
heard what's going to happen. He told us about that, and I know he's going to have to call in today to let us, to make us eat our words. Now, you were riding with the Texans. I was hard on them. I ain't going to lie. I didn't think they were going to be able to do what they were going to do, but they did. And I don't know what to say about this team, really. I don't know if it's a fluke. I don't know if they're the real deal or they have an miracle season. I don't know. So I'm really trying to put my finger on these Texans and see what's going on. Now, I watched this game. I thought for sure the Redskins had this game won.
All right. Ronnie, if you go back and run the tape of the first show, Houston was one of my picks.
Okay.
So,
see, there you go. There you go. You jump on the bandwagon.
Yeah, right. No, I'm not. If you go back to the first show, run the tape of my picks, and I think I have it on paper, which I will show you as evidence. Houston was one of my picks to win the South because...
Here you go. You jumping on the bandwagon, too.
No. We'll have to go back and check the first show.
Okay, why don't you go find your paper, and I'm gonna put a real Houston fan on the phone. We're getting a call from 713, so let's see what this is going to be.
Okay, all right. I go find the paper. All right.
Yeah, let's see. You're on the RF Sports Radio Show.
What's going on, man? It's Joe from Houston, Texas. Home of the 2-0 Texans. How y'all doing?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, Joe, you're my witness. Who did I pick last week?
Last week, he was pretty much saying the Texans was going to do it, man. I remember him saying
it. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Joe, y'all celebrating down in Houston?
Oh, well, yeah, man. Actually, right now I'm in Dallas in enemy territory, so I'm watching where I'm walking. But there's definitely a lot of celebrating going on in Houston and a lot of bandwagon jumping on. But we cool.
Now, let me ask you something. I know you watched this game, so I know you saw some of the stuff that I saw. Now, you tell me, okay. Now, to me, the Texans are having this magical season. Okay, first of all, they beat a team they ain't beat but once in 16 games, okay?
Uh-huh.
And they come from behind a 17-point deficit to beat a good Redskins team at home. I mean, you tell me, is this their magical season? Am I looking at a fluke, or am I looking at the real deal?
Man, it's like the Wizard of Oz, man. It's like they finally were going down the yellow brick road, and they finally found what they was missing. They finally got that heart. You know what I'm saying? It was like they always had the – they would always look good on paper. And like they always say at the beginning of the season, all the Texans are going to be good this year. But they didn't have that heart and that character, and it seemed like it's all coming together now. You know, and it's I don't think it's a fluke. I don't think it's a hoax. I really think it's a great team that's – and And I'm a realist. They're going to the playoffs, man. They're going to the playoffs. I'm not trying to say that they're going to go undefeated or anything like that, but I'm saying that they got what it takes to get to the playoffs and really be a contender this year.
Now, I have to play devil's advocate here real quick.
All right, go ahead.
Average Texans fan, okay. Now, did Houston win this game or did the Redskins lose this game?
Come on, man. Come on, man.
Okay, so the Texans won the game. Did Dallas, non-win two games?
Okay, we're not talking about Dallas, okay? We're talking about Houston.
No, they won the game. They won the game, and I give it to Coach for icing the kicker, because if he wouldn't have called that timeout, that 52-yarder would have been good. So,
yeah. Now that rule was put in place, I guess, for y'all to get this win, because I don't know. I mean, because he made that kick.
And you want to talk about rules and refs and stuff? It seemed like we was playing the refs too, because they was kept trying to challenge our plays, you know. And every time we do so, like, especially towards the end of the game, it was like they was going challenge crazy. So it wasn't like we wasn't getting all the good looks.
Let me tell you something, Rodney. If you think about it, Houston has had the best receiver, Andre Johnson.
Yeah.
The last couple of years. They always had a decent running back. They just learned to get a winning attitude. Once you get a winning attitude with the talent they have, of course now they're going to win. They're going to win a lot more games. Houston has always knocked on that door.
Exactly.
If you go back the last two seasons, every game they lost was less than 7 points. Am I right, Joe?
Yeah, there's always been close games. And like,
last season,
especially when we played the Colts, I think both of those times. We could have won it by a field goal, or when we were playing the Titans as well. It was the same thing, real close games. And it really was Chris Brown missing those field goals, but he's gone, so I'm not tripping off that. But it's always, like I said, we've always had that team, but like I said, they got that heart now, so it's going to be interesting to see.
Okay, now.
And they've been playing this team for 2 or 3 years, starting with the number one draft pick. Remember they picked the defensive end? They've been building this team for the last 2 years. Last year they knocked on the door. This year they kicked the door in, buddy.
Well, hey,
so you better get ready.
Is this the second game, okay? And Matt Schaub is not going to throw for 497 yards, 3 touchdowns again in his career, okay?
I don't understand why you're acting like Matt Schaub wasn't great last season.
Right.
He was great last season, but he's not going to throw for 497 yards. If they relying on him to throw for that many yards to win, then it's not going
to
happen. Okay, they had a 4th and 10 Hail Mary play, okay, that was a lucky catch.
He doesn't have to throw for over 490 games
because we built up that arsenal,
man. We can run on you, you know what I'm saying, or we can air it out to Andre Johnson or whatever.
Right.
You know? So we're building up that arsenal. He doesn't have to always have a game like that.
He don't have to. Right. Now, I make a suggestion to Rodney. When your Cowboys are sitting at home during the playoffs, go get that Texan jersey so you will have a team of football from Texas. That's my suggestion to Rodney.
And since you are living in Texas, you are considered a Texan, so we will accept
you. Let it go. Am I right? It's just like when the Mavericks don't go to playoffs and the Rockets go or the Spurs go, I'm still rooting for a Texas team. I suggest you get on that bandwagon, Rodney.
Okay. Well, the showdown is coming. The showdown with Texas is coming. We're going to see an 0-2 team against a 2-0 team. Somebody's got to lose this game. So you tell me, Joe, now what you saw from the Texans was a good game. Okay, I'm not taking nothing away from the win, but they did have to come from behind. They were down. Okay, they did get us some lucky breaks. The coach did make a bonehead play by kicking that punt instead of taking that long field goal.
I agree with you on that one. He got real lucky
and called a timeout during the field goal kick, and he missed the kick the second time. Now you tell me, if they're down 17 points against the Cowboys in Houston next Sunday. Are we looking at a team that's gonna come back against the Cowboys team?
Okay, first of all, like I said before, they found the heart. But going back to how you were addressing the question in the first place, like the Cowboys aren't 0-2 right now. You know, it's the Cowboys right now. That's not really a good word. So
that's an easy game.
How about it needs to be, are the Cowboys gonna be able to come back when they down 24-0 in the fourth quarter? That's what I want to know.
Because the
Cowboys need to prove something to me right now. You know, all this stuff, everybody's talking all this stuff at the beginning, like, oh, that's Super Bowl bound.
I need to see it
because I'm not seeing it right now.
You know what, Rodney? The Cowboys have to win. Houston doesn't have to win. So it's a big difference. Cowboys lose, they 0-3. If Houston lose, they 2-1. Big difference.
But yeah, the Cowboys have to win or they're going to repo that stadium. They need to pay it, so they need to do something.
Okay, we're going to see what's going to happen, man. But I will congratulate the Texans on a good win, okay? I swallow my pride, okay? I put my foot in my mouth, okay? And the Texans had a good win, but I'm just telling you right now, okay? I think they're setting you up and other Texans fans for a letdown when it comes to the playoffs. This is my opinion.
That's good, man. And honestly, I don't see the Cowboys playing three, you know, bad games. So I think it's going to be a good game. And we'll just see who's the victor.
All right, man. I expect the call from you next week when y'all get y'all first loss.
y'all know about the loss, but you're gonna get that call though, man.
Yeah, hey, like breaking news right now! I just heard a key reluctant one is gonna join the Houston Texans. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that's our new kicker right there, so he can make them 52 yards.
All right, we're going to see about that. But thanks for calling. Thanks for listening to, man.
All right, no problem. I'll see y'all later.
All right.
Just call next week.
I'll call.
Yeah, matter of fact, I might give you a personal number and talk to you Sunday night.
Not a problem with you.
All right,
y'all have a good one.
All right, appreciate it, man.
Yeah.
Now, we knew we was going to get that call today. I don't know why I didn't think I was going to get that call.
Yeah, Rodney, I think you put your foot in the mouth on that one.
I can be man enough to admit it, and it's gonna be even more pleasurable for me next Tuesday to come on here and tell you all the ways and go play by play how we beat the Texans on Sunday. So I'm just waiting for that day.
But do you agree that Dallas has to win this game?
I agree with that. 100%. You can't go into the bye week going 3. You can't go into the bye week going 3.
You know, and remember last year, the Cowboys beat the Saints, but the Saints still won the Super Bowl. You remember that?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Okay, but Dallas has to win. Houston, they still lead their division.
Just keep your Texans hat on. That's all I got to tell you. Keep your Texans hat on, okay? And I keep
I'm a Texan either way, whether it's Dallas, Houston, or whatever. I'm still a Texan.
That's what I'm saying. You can't straddle the fence.
There's 300 miles of land between here and Houston. There's no fence. It's wide open space. There's no fence.
Well, we'll see. The game ended up being the game of the weekend was last night. And I know everybody got a chance to see this game. If you didn't stay up late, I know you saw it all day on SportsCenter or read about it in the paper. But the Saints and the 49ers. I mean, who would have thought that the 49ers would put up 4 turnovers, okay? But then you have a guy like Alex Smith, who you say grew up in that game yesterday, actually outthrew Drew Brees.
Alex Smith became a man last night. They showed me that they are a contender. Even though they lost, you take away the 4 turnovers, they easily beat the Saints.
But the Saints know how to win.
And they are the Super Bowl champs. It don't have to be pretty, but a win's a win.
Yeah, and we've got people already calling in, lining up for this Cowboys roundtable. It should be pretty good. But on this game last night, I honestly thought the Saints would probably walk all over these guys. But the 49ers did show me something, especially on defense. They held the Saints when they needed to hold them, although they didn't do nothing in their last drive. But they did keep the game close. It was 25-22. And the offense showed me even more than the defense did. They drove the ball down the field. The Niners actually tied this game up with a minute and 18 seconds left. But that's just too much time for Drew Brees. That's just too much time for a team that's been playing together that long and actually had a chance to win a Super Bowl and go all the way as a team. And that was just too much time for the 49ers. Although they did block their kick at the very end. I mean, I give them credit for that. They did block their kick, but it went ahead and went through. It was just the Saints' time to win. Now, you saw this game. I mean, do you think this was the best game of the weekend?
I think that was the best game of the week. I would rate this as the game of the week. And that was a freak tip that the ball went over the goal line. I really thought they had blocked it. But like I said, the Saints are the champions, and they found a way to win. It was ugly, a hell of a game. Without the four turnovers, I would get it to San Francisco. I still predict San Francisco to make to win their division. I think they got on the right track last night. And personally, I think they outplayed New Orleans. But like I said, New Orleans, got a big horseshoe on their foot, rabbit's foot in their pocket, whatever you want to call it. But a win's a win. They are 2-0. They are the Super Bowl champs. Did somebody beat them?
Yeah, you still going with this team to be in the Super Bowl again?
Well, I'm not going with the Cowboys. That's for sure.
Okay. Let's go ahead and have this discussion now. Let's get into these Cowboys right now. Now I've got a few issues I got with the Cowboys too. So I'm not saying everything is all gravy in Dallas. Don't get me wrong.
Let's talk about the Cowboys.
Cowboys team. Now when we get into these Cowboys, now you tell me. Now you saw the game just like I saw the game. Why did we lose this game? Who are we gonna put the blame on? So I want all the callers to call in for the Cowboys segment. I need to know, who are you blaming for this loss? Are we blaming the same people we blamed in week one, which we all agree was Jason Garrett? Was that bad play call that they made at the end of the half? Alex Barron for the holding penalty? I mean, who are we blaming for this game? And I'm going to tell you something right off the bat. This team is not being coached. Point blank. Plain and simple. Now, I know the players had to play the game, but someone's got to coach this team. The only person I saw on the sidelines trying to get the guys amped up, trying to give them a chance to win, was Jerry. That was the only guy. Showing any emotion.
Well, you know, Rodney, even when the coach called a bad game, the players still had to play. And what I saw was the disarray among the Cowboys. I know they had a team meeting on Monday. What team has a team meeting on the second game of the year? That's a problem right there. They don't have any continuity. I don't see any hustle. I don't see anybody stepping up to make a play. Y'all have three running backs. Nobody plays the whole game. How can you have three running backs and they can't get a continuity for the game when they're in and out of the game all day? And I don't understand that. Last year they were good running team. They had three good backs. Everybody gained almost 1,000 yards, two rushes. And there's something wrong with the organization when you have three good running backs and one doesn't play the entire game. Tony Romo is frazzled. I don't know what happened to him. Play calling is awful. Wade Phillips is not a motivator. If I was Jerry Jones, Monday morning, somebody would have been fired, even if it was just a kicker. I mean, it's awful. You can go out and get a kicker. So the Cowboys are just hype. You know, I think by the people predicting them to go to the Super Bowl, got to their heads. It's not automatic win. You have to still go out and play the game. You have to earn a Super Bowl berth. And if you don't play like Super Bowl contenders, nowhere in the world you be a Super Bowl contender. I don't look for the Cowboys to go 8-8. That's my prediction. I had them 9-7. Now it's 8-8. And I'm down that right now. But this Cowboy team is in trouble. If they lose Sunday, it's over. The season's over with.
Yeah. And you look at them on paper, Romo threw for 374 yards. But he had those two picks, which a lot of people say wasn't his fault. Now, one of them I will pin on him. He threw it behind Jason Witten. The other pick, it did bounce off of Miles Austin to the hands of a defender. But then against this Bears defense, you can't make no mistakes. This defense has always been good. It's always been the type to capitalize on your mistakes. You can't make mistakes like that. So I put some of this loss on Tony Romo, okay? Another problem I had, okay, we run the first series of the game. We go 3-and-out, okay? We come back in, short yardage down. And who's playing tackle for the Cowboys? Marcus Spears. You got a defensive lineman playing tackle for the offensive line. Now, like we said last week, Jason Garrett put out all the tricks, ran out of plays, made sure everybody touched the ball last week. Now, here he is bringing in Marcus Spears to be your block on short yardage attempts. Where is this offensive line we kept hearing about all offseason? Now that they're back, now that they're healthy, why do we have to have Marcus Spears out there to block in short yardage situations?
Well, that goes to show you that the team is in disarray. And then you come out in the first quarter and kick an onside kick. That sounds like a team that's in desperation. Who has kicked an onside kick in the first quarter? You know,
especially
I don't understand
onside,
that.
Especially the onside kick right after you run. Dez Bryant gets his first touchdown of his NFL career, runs back a punt. I'm excited
right.
about that. I'm crunk about that. The man gets shot out of a cannon, burns everybody, leads down the field. And here you come back with this guy that's supposed to be your specialist and kicking the ball into the end zone, getting the touchback, leads the league in touchbacks. And here you go. But you're putting actually, you're not even letting the man kick it out there. You're giving him a push punt. I don't understand that. What's the deal with that?
And on top of that, you're not losing the game at that point. I mean, what was the onside? I could see if you were behind, you know, kicking an onside kick. The team is in disarray. I watched that game. I watched the players. I watched the demeanor. Who on the Cowboys, say if it is Tony Romo's fault, who else is going to step up on this team? Who's going to step up and will themselves to win? Who's going to take over the game personally, you know, and will the Cowboys to win? I don't see that on this team. I just don't see it. I think it's a lot of hype by them predicting to be Super Bowl contenders. My prayers go out to Jerry. I feel sorry for him. He's done everything he can. Maybe he needs to quit signing these large contracts and start having these players earning on a merit bonuses by their play. You know, something's going to have to be done, but if I was Jerry, I would have fired somebody Monday morning. Tony Dungy's available. At what cost it would take, I would have gave him a call Monday morning and said, Tony, what would it take to get you to coach this team?
Yeah. And we got callers lined up. Let's get to some of our callers that everybody wants to weigh in on the Cowboys. Let's see who we got on the line here real quick. You're live on the RS Sports Radio Show.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for bringing me on. The comment that I want to focus on when it comes to the Cowboys is the chemistry, I believe, hasn't been right since we've been a dynasty due to the over-aggressive nature, I think, of Jerry Jones. You don't come down onto the field and use intimidation as a tactic. You know, fire somebody the next morning. But there's no need for that. You let your staff do what they're supposed to do. And as long as that mind frame or that mindset is on the field, then the players can't respect the coach. And no coach in his right mind would think about taking a job for the Cowboys as long as you have to deal with that type of owner. There was no reason for Jimmy Johnson to have ever left the team. You know, he easily could have had four, maybe five championships straight, I believe. You know, but the problem with the Cowboys now, if you want to focus on the team level, is you have a quarterback that's comfortable. His money is made because Jerry Jones likes to pay the quarterback. He locks the quarterback in quick. You give him all this money before he's proven himself, and when he's no longer a surprise, he wants to get rid of the ball because he's nervous.
Right.
So you watch that game. You watched us lose to the Washington Redskins in Washington.
Okay.
Us lose at home to the Chicago Bears. Now, you tell me from what you saw on the field, why are we losing these games?
Okay. All right. Now, I will agree that in the first game, here's what I expected. With Washington has always given us trouble. Number one, they're a division team, but they match up well against us. Your boy Campbell was not seasoned enough to really prevail in a division that's as tough as this division. I think it's the toughest division in the NFL, if you ask me. But if you look at the seasoning of a player, Mike Donovan, and you give him the weapons and a different style of offense, hey, man, he'll pick you apart. So with the shoddy coaching and the under-aggressiveness of our play on both sides of the ball, I think we're out of there. I mean, why would you go to Dez Bryant multiple times on the sideline play?
Right. Yeah, we touched on that. Now, what you saw on Sunday, they really didn't force the ball to Dez on Sunday. They tried to open up the playbook somewhat, and it was just too many mistakes. I mean, from what you saw Sunday, I mean, why did we lose Sunday against the Bears?
Well, I'll say this. The loss against the Bears to me was a combination of the same factors. Chemistry not being there. Now, if you ask me, we haven't had a solid run game since the Dynasty. Now, I really like the fact that they have tried to focus in and make it a three combination back situation where you can keep fresh legs in there. But we run the same run plays that we ran 8 years ago.
Yeah, right.
Who doesn't know that? I mean, people blame Parcells for it, but Parcells had to deal with the ultimate problem, which is Jerry Jones. Now that he has the stadium built, he feels like he can pull the strings and you should stay off the field. What other owner comes down there like that? And what does that say? When you have a team that performs poorly on the team, you have to start at the top and work your way down. Can't nobody fire Jerry Jones, and that's our true problem. So you know, you bring in these stool pigeon coaches that exhibit your will, and you hire Band-Aid players, and you know,
damn big money.
Well,
but you know, Ray Phillips, the first thing I do is no more celebrating after a catch, no more dancing after you tackle somebody. I saw that a lot. That's your job to catch a pass 10 yards and get a first down. That's your job to sack a quarterback. You know, all this celebrate if you win the game. All this, you know, and that to me shows that they're not playing as a team. You know what I mean? I made a sack. I'm going to get up and bounce around and jump. Well, it's a team sport. You know what I mean? And I don't see the team that's in the Cowboys, and I don't see anybody stepping up to make a play. If I was Jed, I'd go to the mirror thing. Your pay is based on your performance. You know what I mean? Ain't nothing guaranteed to you. You have to earn your guarantee. You know what I mean? And everybody's locked in. They're too comfortable. They're too casual. I don't see any urgency. But if I don't see it Sunday, and if they don't win Sunday, season's over with.
Well, I'll say this. Here's Sunday. When it comes down to playing the Texans, although I don't feel that they've proven themselves either. You know, here's the thing about an expansion team. You're supposed to start off with the best choices and picks. And you have an opportunity to really recruit an all-star squad, but there's no chemistry there. The team has to gel, and that's what they're beginning to do. You know, this was a lucky win for them. I definitely agree, but the Jets is the team to look for in the AFC, in my opinion. Now, when it comes to the game on Saturday with the Cowboys and the Texans, the missing Witten, I think, is the key factor that makes it a coin flip. We're capable of beating them, but we've seen no improvement from player play or from coaching. So what leads us to believe that we won't make the same mistakes?
Right. I agree with that. But I think with the offensive line coming together, now keep in mind this offensive line hadn't played together since the first week of training camp. I think them coming together, I think the players trying to come together and know what they got to do. Though the locker room, as you can tell, is being split. You got some of them want to get together and meet. Some of them feel like they don't need to meet. They just need to play.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to expect, but I expect them to win. That's one thing I do expect them to do. I think they're a better team than the Texans, point blank, period. I know the Texans beat the Colts, But that was long overdue. That was a lucky break. I think the Texans beat the Redskins and come from behind, but to me that was a lucky break. And I think they've had their miracle season. And I think right now, I think in the reality, I'm telling you, I'm putting it on paper, I'm putting it on record, I'm putting it on file. We will beat the Texans in Houston to bounce back because that's the Cowboys' MO. That's what they do.
Come on, man.
They get us all in a panic. They lose a couple of games. Then they win a couple of games, and they go right back and lose a couple more. So this is what they do. This is how they make and break and give you a heart attack throughout the season.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to win the game against the Texans.
They beat the Saints. Remember? And the Saints went on to win the Super Bowl. But just like Houston, if you notice the games they have played, somebody on that team has stepped up and won the game. Whether it be Andre Johnson or the running back or the quarterback, somebody on that Houston team has willed themselves or put the team on their back and won. I hadn't seen that with the Cowboys. I don't see it.
Well, here's the problem when it comes to the passing. When Romo stepped up, and I was a big supporter of him, I was like, yeah, you know, there's something about paying behind Drew Bledsoe that just makes, you know, a quarterback want to just really get out there and play. But you have T.O. out there on the field who is still respected as a speed threat and as a high jumping threat. So regardless of how many passes he dropped, that's a double-team situation. And when you don't have that caliber of a player to focus in on, yeah, you can drop shoulder pads all day long on Patrick Crayton. I think it was a mistake to let him go. I think he had some of the best hands, but he wasn't utilized correctly.
And,
you know, Roy, hey, man, since the days of the Longhorns, I just haven't seen the fire in him.
No. And him and Romo can't get on the same page. It's like they one's on 28 and the other's on 34. You know.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, Kyle, I want you to stay with us real quick because you bring up an interesting point. You're one of the first ones to call in to actually put some of the blame on Jerry Jones. That's an interesting point. I'm going to grab another caller real quick before we run out of time. So stay where you at, caller. You're live on the RF Sports Radio Show. Hello, caller.
Hello, Rodney?
Yeah, this is me.
Hey, Rodney, it's David.
Hey, David, how you doing?
Hey, pretty good, man, pretty good. Hey, pretty good show so far, man.
Thank you,
Dave.
I appreciate you listening.
Hey, you know what I think it boils down to for the Cowboys? Two things. Overconfidence and lack of identity. Okay.
There you go.
Number one, Dez Bryant runs back a touchdown or runs back a punt for a touchdown. The very next play, man, come on, the onside kick.
Right.
And then the Bears run, and then the Bears shove it down our throats to go right back up.
Right.
I mean, there is no identity on this team. If you look at the last season, you look at all the championship teams in the AFC and the NFC championship games. Then you look at the Super Bowl. Okay, you got the Saints. That's Drew Brees' team. I mean, it's not Pierre Thomas. It's not Reggie Bush. It's not any of the receivers. It's Drew Brees. You look at the Colts. That's Peyton's team. You know, I mean, it's on Peyton. You look at the Jets. Their identity, they're a smash-mouth football team. I mean, they will hit you in the mouth. You know, I mean, if you're going to play the Jets, get ready to get hit.
Right.
And if you look at, I mean, just every single time, I mean, or go back and look at the Patriots. I mean, that's Tom Brady's team.
Right.
You know, there's no identity. Actually, the identity of the Cowboys team, like the previous caller, is Jerry Jones. He ain't the player.
You're right.
Yeah.
Right.
The Cowboys are great at making money. At making money. But they're the most valuable team in sports. But you can't win football games based on the owner. I mean, the owner, Jerry did a great job of putting together a team with star players all throughout, but you don't have an identity. You know, when the game's on the line, who is that ball going to? Because is it Romo? Is it going to be Barber? Is it going to be Felix? Is it going to be Tashard Joyce? Who's it going to be?
That's an interesting point of view. I mean, I want to dive into that because you're basically saying this team doesn't have an identity. And we always have been discussing the fact that the team has three running backs, okay? There's no feature back, number one. So who we going to have the ball to? You're absolutely correct. Then we don't know who's our go-to guy when we're throwing the ball. We're trying to force it to Dez. We're trying to force it to Jason Witten. We're trying to get Miles his shine. And he's the only one that's really playing.
Bennett, Witten.
Right. So we got all these weapons, all these options. So who's really to blame for not utilizing or putting together a scheme that's going to allow us to win and not be 0-2? Now, my blame is going solely on the coaching staff because they're the ones that have this talent, but they can't harness it. They can't put the game plan together. They can't give the team an identity to really want to win the game. I don't really blame Jerry. I like Jerry. So it's hard for me to blame Jerry.
Yep. Yeah, you know, I mean, and you look at – You go back to week one. I mean, it's a completely different team that we were in week one from week two. I mean, week one, you know, everybody's talking about the short passes to Dez Bryant, trying to get Romo protected.
Right.
All of a sudden, you get your lineman back in game two, and you still don't know what to do. You know, it's right now. I mean, it's just ugly. They can't figure out what to do. I mean, that's what happens. You know, I mean, you look at some of the great basketball teams too. You know, I mean, you put too many stars on one court, and you don't know who the go-to guy is.
Right, that's true. That's
and
true.
You know, get the ball in the hands. Right now, the star is Miles Austin. Get the ball in the hands of the star. Big stars make big plays in big situations. You know, and same way with T.O. You know, T.O. was a star last year. I mean, he was a big time player. You got to get the ball into your best player's hands. You know, they're trying to spread the ball around. I saw Bennett catching passes. You know what I mean? They tried every trick in the book, and the tricks are not working. Like I said, smash, hard-nosed football, you know, do win game. I just don't see it. I don't see anybody. I don't see the effort. I don't see the extra mile. I just don't see it with this team. I don't see anybody stepping up. You know, they all got these big, fat salaries. You know, everybody signed long-term, big, fat money, you know, salaries. And if something happens to them when they get these big contracts, what is it about Dallas? You know, are they comfortable? You know, are they just happy with making money?
Well, you have to understand that a lot of these guys' dreams, like a guy like Dez Bryant, is to be a Cowboy. Cowboys are a marquee team. That's something that's been instilled before Jerry got here. And Jerry just kind of made the story even bigger than what it already was, so I can understand that. But, David, I want to ask you a quick question because I know you're a little biased based on your fantasy team, okay? Do the Texans beat the Cowboys next week? Does Aaron Foster run for 200-plus yards against the Cowboys next week?
No, I don't think he runs for 200-plus yards. I mean, okay, here's – you know, I am a little biased because I got Romo and I got Foster on my team.
Right.
I think Foster is definitely going to put up some solid numbers. I mean, he's definitely going to put up some solid numbers. But if you can, the biggest question though is, can you stop the passing attack? I mean, because last year and this year and in the Washington game, you know, Schaub and Johnson, my God, I mean, they tore him up just like they did the teams all season. You know, exactly. If we can make them a one-dimensional team. I mean, the Cowboys have a shot. Any team in the NFL, if you make one team a one-dimensional team, you can tear them up. But the question is, you know, if you make them a one-dimensional team, can you take advantage of that and utilize all your weapons? I mean, right now, again, I mean, it's just you don't know where to go. I mean, it's the Cowboys, and I agree with you. I mean, it's the coaching staff. I mean, they outthink themselves every single game. You got so many weapons. And the one word for the Cowboys right now, in my mind, is they're cute. They're really cute.
Yeah.
I mean, you can almost guess their play. Yeah. You can almost guess their play because it's what am I supposed to do right here? Okay.
Right.
I know you think you're I'm going to do this, so let me do this.
Right.
But then you might think that, so let me go back to this, and you can guess the play every single time.
Right. That's true. You're right.
So the teams in the NFL that you've watched in the first two weeks of the season, although it's still early, who do you think is really going to come out the NFC East? Is it going to be the Cowboys? Are they going to turn it around? Are we going to see Mike Vick lead the Philadelphia Eagles back to the playoffs? or
Giants.
Are you going to see the Giants, or are you going to see the Redskins with McNabb?
You know, to be perfectly honest, I think the Giants probably have a leg up right now because the Giants are the Giants. They're still the same team. They still got Eli back there. You know, I mean, he's a Super Bowl winning quarterback. You still got most of the same offensive line. The defense still looks solid. I mean, I think the Giants are probably the team to beat. Dallas has the most upside potential. Well, I mean, you can't really get any downside potential with 0-2. But you know, the Eagles and the Redskins. I mean, the Redskins. Come on. I mean, that was a lucky win. All right, okay, that was just the Cowboys making too many mistakes, just like in game two. You know, so when you don't know what you're doing, and you don't know exactly what your game plan is, and you don't know exactly who your go-to people are, you make mistakes because everybody's trying to do something, and when everybody tries to do something, you will make mistakes. You know, you don't fit your roles. Everybody's trying to make a play.
Yeah.
So I mean, I think hands down right now it's the Giants are the most solid team.
Yeah.
And right in your secondary kind of, and Jenkins hurt.
Well, no, Diggs is actually going to be playing in week three. I found that out today. Jason Wynn is going to come back from his concussion and play week three also. So we'll be at full steam. Offensive line will be gelling. And I'm telling you guys, when y'all listen next Tuesday, I'm going to have horns, a band. Okay, we're going to do it real big because we're going to get our first win of the season. We're going to beat a good Houston Texans team. And everything's going to be calm, and the ship's going to be back on the water. So I think that's what's going to happen. This is my opinion.
Well, may I make a suggestion? Go get a band in New Orleans. You're going to have a funeral march. you need a Louisiana jazz band to play your funeral march, because if they lose, it's going to be it's going to be a funeral march.
All right. And I want to thank David for calling in, man. I appreciate that, man.
Hey, thanks, Roddy. I appreciate you for having me on, man.
All right,
Dave. Bye.
All right, take it easy, guys.
Estimate.
So you predicting the Cowboys to win, huh?
Yeah, I'm a predicting the win. Now, this is Tuesday, okay? So I have another show between now and Sunday. But right now, I got these guys winning. But before we sign off, it's been a great show, a power pack show.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to touch on just a few things that are happening right now, too. The Redskins have released Larry Johnson, so he's back out there on the market. I don't know if we need a fourth running back, but, hey, we got three already. And they released him for going basically 5 carries for 2 yards against the Texans. But I think he got to be cut after that. So my advice to Jerry, if you're listening, yeah, I'm going to email this show to you, okay, so you can hear what I'm about to say. Jerry, go get a kicker, period. You should have did that week one. Just go get a kicker. If he's 41, who cares? Just go get somebody that can kick a 44-yard field goal, please. Just go get a kicker. Anybody. I don't care
who
he is.
Go get a soccer player.
You go get a soccer player. I don't care who he is. Get him from the burn. I don't care. Just go get a kicker before the game on Sunday. Please go get a kicker. And just real quick, we touched on a quick NBA note. The Carmelo thing is still pretty much going on. They actually had a trade to come down the pipeline today. Melo going to the New Jersey Nets for about 4 players, one of them being the third-round pick, Derek Favors, or third pick of the draft, Derek Favors, and also Troy Murphy and Chris Humphreys, and a future pick. So we'll see what happens on that. I don't see Carmelo going to New Jersey. Although him and Devin Harris sounds pretty good, but it's just not marquee. I don't see him going to New Jersey, but who knows what happened. And actually, Scottie Pippen had a quick quote today. He said that he doesn't approve of the Bulls trading Joakim Noah to Denver to bring in Carmelo. He said it's too much of a big gamble. So basically, Scottie Pippen doesn't want Melo to be in Chicago. So we'll see about that. And we'll see what happens. I'm going to bring back on the caller from earlier real quick. Let me get a quick wrap-up real quick. Caller, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, so what do you think about someone did call in and agree with your viewpoint about Jerry? Any one of the last remarks, any last thing you want to say?
You know, I'll just say this game is going to be a coin flip. If we beat them, definitely happy because I'm a Cowboy fan, but we'll see.
And we
at least y'all win the Texas Bowl if you do win. You at least win the Texas Bowl. I give you that.
Well, I'll say this. As far as the division goes, I'm sorry, I hate to interrupt real quick. As far as the division goes, I think that we can still win the division as long as we beat New York.
Right, right, right. And Philly.
Yeah, we can't get Philly out. Michael Vick, I like Michael Vick. I like what he's doing to Philly, too.
You win those two games. If you beat Washington, if you beat New York and Philly, you do win a division, basically.
Pretty much.
So, that, yeah, that's pretty much so. You beat those two teams, you will win a division. You know,
speaking of,
that's
Giants,
a big if.
Speaking of the Giants, Brandon Jacobs was fined $10,000 for tossing his helmet in the stands in the Manning Bowl Sunday night. So I don't know
right.
if you guys got a chance to see that, but the NFL did fine him $10,000. But we want to thank everybody for calling in, for having a great, 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 great show. I want to thank our Houston Texans fan for calling in, Joe. We want to definitely thank Icebreak Productions. Y'all make sure y'all check them out on Blog Talk Radio as well. And I want to thank Dave for calling in. And all those callers that didn't get the chance to get in, just keep listening, keep calling in. You can reach us on the web at blogtalkradio.com /RF Sports. You can also follow us on Twitter at RF Sports Radio is the tagline for Twitter, or reach us by email at rfsportsradio@gmail.com. So we like all you to send questions in. We're still trying to pick a name for the show. We haven't actually come up with the prize just yet, so keep sending your suggestions in, and we'll definitely pick a name. And when we come back next Thursday at 9 o'clock from 9 to 11, same time, same channel, and we'll be picking a lot of the games coming up for week 3 of the NFL and also some college games and stuff too. Royce, you got anything you want to close out with?
Go Mark Sanchez. He's a man.
Okay,
good night, Rodney.
All right, good
I'll
night,
talk to
everyone.
You Sunday night.
All right, you can follow the show on iTunes as well and download it there also. So keep supporting us, and we thank y'all for listening.
All right.
Go Cowboys.